Welcome back to Cityscape. I'm Jim Eltoff in for Steve Potter. You like to cook? You're always on the lookout for a new cookbook? Oh, you've come to the right place. On this month's Soundbite segment, produced with Sauce Magazine, we're going to get some recommendations for summer food reading. If you have a favorite, an indispensable, or an unusual cookbook you'd like to share with our audience, by all means, give us a call at 382-8255. Send us an email or send us a tweet. With me in the studio are two guests. Ligeia Figueres is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine. Ligeia, hello. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And Meera Nagarajan is Sauce's art director. And Meera, thank you as well for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You've made some very interesting suggestions. But before we get to the specifics, and I have a lot of questions, I like to cook, let me ask you why people need cookbooks. If I want to cook something, I can get 50 recipes online in about 30 seconds. So why do people need cookbooks?
Cookbooks, I think maybe it falls into two categories. One is for those who are diehard cooks at home and you love the way that a certain person cooks.
Ah, okay.
Maybe it's Julia Child. And you just love everything Julia Child. I'm going to talk about one book today. Deb Madison is one of my favorite cookbook authors, and I just really like her style. And so you want to build that collection, and it's a book that you're going to use constantly. That's one reason.
So one reason, Ligeia, would be if I know, if I like Alton Brown or I like the way he lays out his recipes, if I see a cookbook with his name on it, I say, well, yeah, I like this guy. Mm-hmm. I want his style, his input.
Right. And another one, and I think we're going to get to this, this topic of, for instance, Top Chef books. You like personalities. You like some of these people in the kitchen. And sure, you can print out one recipe.
Mm.
But when you read the cookbook or the book or the memoir even, you have a much richer sense of the totality of what this person does and the way that they think, the personality, the type of ingredients that they use, where the inspiration is coming from.
Mm.
And you're not going to get that if you just print out one recipe from online.
Well, that's true. Meera, anything to add to that? I mean, I will look up a recipe if I know I want to make crayfish etouffee or whatever. But if I don't know what I want to cook, then it's pretty hard to look it up. Then you go to the book, right, and see what is Nigella talking about in this one or that one.
Well, I love to collect cookbooks because I think that they look amazing on my bookshelf. So that's one reason. But I think when you don't know what you want to make that day, I just pick up a cookbook that I've had success with in the past.
Uh-huh.
And then just explore with something that's new that I haven't tried yet. And usually it ends up being something that I'm going to enjoy because I like that book and I like that author.
I probably got 30 or 40 cookbooks, something like that, at home. And I probably use 4 of them. I don't know. The rest just kind of sit there, you know. The Mensch Chef, I mean, if you're going to make brisket, all right, there's the nice recipe. But all right, let's talk about some of the cookbooks and some of the recommendations.
Sure.
And I wonder if I could get you to talk a little bit about Southern cooking. You've got a Top Chef, one of these celebrity guys, Kevin Gillespie, with an Atlanta cookbook.
True. Yes.
What's that like? What's that
well,
one about?
Well, that book definitely has a slight Southern slant to it. I mean, he has recipes in there like charred okra and chicken pot pie. But what I like most about it is that it's very accessible. The way that he's written those recipes, they've got really specific instructions. I made English muffins from his book last week.
Made English muffins?
It was for our blog on saucemagazine.com. We reviewed the book. And he has instructions in there like, the dough in your KitchenAid is going to start making a whop, whop, whopping sound. And then that means you have 1 minute left of needing to go. So he has made it very easy for a beginner cook to make slightly difficult recipes.
Can't make it too simple for most of us.
Right.
Keep it simple. Right. Another kind of unusual Southern, Korean Southern book,
right,
by a guy named Edward Lee, Collards and Kimchi.
That was, you know, he was just in town this week as part of a Sauce Celebrity Chef Series event that we held for the book signing, actually, on his book Smoke and Pickles, which is newly released. And it's Smoke and Pickles, Recipes and Stories from a New Southern Kitchen. His background is really interesting because he is of Korean heritage, but he grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And then he became kind of smitten with Louisville, Kentucky as an adult. So he has two restaurants there now. If anybody goes, it's 610 Magnolia and then Milkwood. And he's a 3-time Jane Spirit Award finalist, and just in the last 3 years, so 11, 12, and 13. But the cookbook is really neat because he has found a way to unite Korean and Southern cuisine. So, you know, these two loves.
Well, it's a nice change from Korean-Mexican, right, which you're getting all the time.
So it's really neat. You can and I see it as two ways. He'll take Korean flavors and put those in what would be considered maybe a classic Southern dish, or he'll take what you think of as typically a Korean dish, maybe like fried rice, right, and give it, you know, a spike of Southern. It's really nice.
Huh. So. All right, we're talking with Sauce Magazine with Mira Nagarajan and Lagaya Figueres about some food suggestions for summer reading, memoirs and cookbooks and all that sort of thing. Cookbooks, why don't you give me some suggestions that you particularly like?
Okay. Seasonal cooking is something that at Sauce we always, you know, try to follow the seasons, cooking within the seasons. And right now there's a few that are out that are great. I mentioned Deborah Madison, vegetable literacy. People would know her because of cookbooks like The Greens Cookbook or Savory Way. Those are two of my favorites. She's kind of from the Chez Panisse camp from the 1970s. And then she opened
Alice
up
Water mm-hmm, disciple.
Right. So she opened up The Greens Restaurant in San Francisco in like, I think, late 70s. Her new book, Vegetable Literacy, it's beautiful, great, solid recipes, really, really nice.
Is it vegetarian cooking?
Yeah, those are vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then another one, this is probably my top pick among all new cookbook releases right now. It's called Whole Larder Love, and it's by Rowan Anderson. And it's a book that's meant for the person who wants to live sustainably. So that means this guy, he wants you to be self-reliant in sourcing your food. So grow it, hunt it, fish it, forage for it. I kind of, when I was reading it, I was like, I wonder if this guy reads Henry David Thoreau and he's like a disciple because, you know, he seems to be completely living deliberately. Right?
I would be dead in a week if I had to do that. If I couldn't go to Dierbergs and buy my food, I would perish. But he claims you can actually just live off what you can grow and scrounge and catch and find and pick.
That's what he preaches. I do want to give him credit, too. I haven't heard many people talk about this, but I give him credit for having the guts to take a picture of a chicken that's about to be slaughtered. And he even includes step-by-step instructions on how to do it. I mean, there are a lot of people out there now doing that whole urban farming, you know, raising chickens kind of thing. Yeah. But I think that the reality is if an animal is, it needs to be slaughtered in order to be eaten. And so, you know, that's not a fun or a pleasant act, but it is a reality.
That's why most of us have people who do that. And they're called butchers, right?
So anyway, Whole Larder Love is the name of that one, and it really is one of my favorites so far.
Mira, why don't you pick a couple out that you particularly liked or have tried or test drove? You know?
Well, Nigellissima by Nigella Lawson is her latest cookbook, and it's easy Italian recipes. And, you know, to me, she's Alja Servicing. I really love her show that she filmed years and years ago, and I still watch it even though it's 10 years old. And she's, to me, the shortcut queen. She does it with a lot of grace. The accent helps. But she's a beautiful writer. And in her new book, she makes even reading the recipes really fun. And she has a recipe in there for no-churn coffee ice cream, which is, if you don't have an ice cream maker at home, she gives you all these shortcuts and comes up with creative ways of making things, even if you don't have all the traditional tools to make them. And so I really like it for that reason.
Risotto? Does she do risotto?
She does. Because
that's something I wrestle with and usually lose.
She does do risotto. But she does a chili crab risotto, which is like a traditional risotto where you're standing there and stirring it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then if you are in a pinch, she has an orzo risotto, which you can do in the time that it takes to cook the pasta.
Uh-huh.
So she offers a shortcut there, too.
I love shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
I have no compunctions about cheating at all. I am not a purist. I'm an eater.
No shame.
All right, Nigella, who else? You've got many on this list.
Well, I have one. It's called Franny's Simple Seasonal Italian by Melissa Clark, Andrew Feinberg, and Francine Stevens. Franny's is a restaurant in Brooklyn, and it started out as a pizza place. And it slowly kind of evolved and became more about seasonality and really simple dishes. And the dishes, you know, the idea is that great ingredients demand respect. And food out of this book is, it's easy to love. It's straightforward. There's not a whole lot of stuff going on, you know. And they use a lot of ingredients like mint and lemon juice to kind of enhance the flavor of the food, but without adding a lot of fat to it. It's just bold flavors. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, if you're buying some quality ingredients that are in season, there's not a lot that you have to do to it to make it taste great.
Sure. This is Franny's Simple Seasonal Italian.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. Some others. Let's go back to you.
Sure. I think that we'll pull away from the cookbooks for a second, because I love reading anything about food, and culinary memoirs is one of my favorite things to read over the summer.
My Life in the Kitchen kind of thing by famous chef A.
Okay. Yeah. So Yes, Chef is one that I read earlier this year. It's by Marcus Samuelson. And this is yet another person that we had come to town for a Sauce Celebrity Chef event series. He was here in May. He takes you on this journey that begins in his native Ethiopia.
Oh, I know.
Uh-huh. And then so in his youth, he grew up in an adopted home in Sweden. He cooked in restaurants around the world, primarily in Europe. And then he finally landed in New York City. And that's where he sort of caught the public eye at Aquavit. Now he's the chef owner of a restaurant in Harlem called Red Rooster. Mm-hmm. So his book, Yes, Chef, is he just takes you on this journey and tells you the story. It draws you in from the first sentence, and I'll just read it. It's, "I have never seen a picture of my mother." And you say, oh, my gosh, it gives you goosebumps. And, you know, you read this dramatic story of how he was able to – I mean, it's an unbelievable story and such luck, right, that he even survived in his infancy and then was adopted in this wonderful caring home in Sweden and his progression into adulthood. And, I mean, he admits a lot of his life has been just – pure luck and right place at the right time. But, you know, he also is someone I think is extremely dedicated to his craft and driven. But it's a really wonderfully told story. And he is a most gracious person, having been able to meet him here when he came to town.
He studied in Paris, didn't he? Was it at some cooking schools at Cordon Bleu, or was it at Maxime restaurants in Paris?
No, he did begin in Sweden is when he went to his first culinary school. Mm-hmm. There. But really, from my understanding and reading the book, he got his formation in working at some of the really well-known resorts there in the Switzerland area in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he's got a great story. So is it his memoir? Is it also a cookbook?
No, there are no recipes in this particular book.
Because I don't think I would want to try anything a master like that manages, because this guy is not a short order cook. I mean, he is a master chef, right?
I mean, he's a master chef. I have to admit that I haven't eaten at Red Rooster, but...
Okay. We got an email here from Melanie that maybe you can answer. She's looking for a vintage cookbook that she learned about years ago and has been obsessed with ever since. It's called the 7-Up Cookbook, and it includes recipes for 7-Up salad and 7-Up pancakes. Did that ring a bell?
No.
Wow.
I'm sorry that I don't know the answer to that one.
Well, if she's looking for it, Amazon is a good place to start, but I've not heard of that one.
Okay. I mean, I do know that some of the chefs and even the bartenders around town who do go looking for vintage cookbooks, I mean, they'll look in, you know, yard sales and that kind of thing. And also some of the, not antique stores, but the resale shops around town, she might be able to find in there.
Okay. Another memoir you wanted to mention? You've got one in the magazine, it's a comic book. I know we don't call them comic books.
Well, but I was going to mention...
It's a comic book, right?
It's a graphic novel,
right,
a graphic memoir. The one that I was going to mention is called Relish, My Life in the Kitchen by Lucy Nisley. And our production designer, Michelle Volansky, recommended it to me, actually. And it's a collection of short stories divided into different chapters from her life. And she says that, you know, her clearest memories are the ones that are attached to food. And so she talks about growing up and having, you know, big Easter dinners with her family. And she talks about, there's another story where she's trying to master how to make a great croissant that she had in Venice once, or her memories of being in Tokyo. And she was allergic to soy, and everything that she ate seemed to have soy in it. And it's a good, it's a fast read, But it's also fun if you have kids because it's so visual and the drawings are so fun to look at. And it, for that reason, it's a great book to have for yourself and for your kids, too.
Do you have other recommendations for people who are trying to get their kids into the kitchen and learn how to cook? Both my kids cook. One of them cooks a lot of Asian stuff because he lives in Seoul. And the other one, for some reason, likes Caribbean cuisine. He makes things like curried goat and things that I would probably not order in a restaurant that turn out to be really good.
Nice.
I mean, really spicy, rich, Caribbean, all those, you know, unusual flavors. How do you get your kids into the kitchen?
Well, these days, my kids have been helping me to, you know, cook since they were little. And also, if they wanted to eat, I wasn't going to make a second meal for them. We all eat the same thing. And so sometimes when you get them in the kitchen young and they have a hand at what, you know, they're preparing, then there's a little bit more interest to do it. But as far as books that I was going to recommend that might be of interest to people with kids, there's a book out there called Patty's Mexican Table. And you're talking about maybe, you know, ethnic cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And the author's name is Patty Jinnick. It's curious because she was born and raised in Mexico City. She's actually a former analyst who specialized in Latin American policy, and now she's the official chef at the Mexican Cultural Institute in Washington, D.C. And the recipes are really straightforward. They're pretty simple. You know, she's got a couple kids of her own, and from the pictures, it looks like they're all happy eating her food, right? No, but really, it's very straightforward, and I don't think any of the ingredients would scare off, you know, young palates. The other thing that I liked about it, too, at the bottom of some of the recipes, she offers what she calls Mexican cook's tricks. And we all want to have a few, you know, tricks up our sleeve, like things that, like Nigella offers, right?
Mm.
So it's a nice, solid cookbook, and for someone looking for something new and different in, you know, Mexican cuisine, that might be a good entry for people with younger kids.
We've got just a half a minute or so left. Mira, how about one must-have recommendation from you?
Well, this is actually something that I'm looking forward to that's coming out this fall. It's called Roberta's, and it's a restaurant that's in Brooklyn, and they're famous for pizza and really great, wonderful dishes. I actually went there just a few weeks ago, and their book is coming out in the end of October, and they claim that, you know, the pizza that you're going to make at home isn't going to taste exactly like ours because you don't have a big, giant wood-burning oven, but they're going to offer us some ideas on how to make really nice quality pizza at home anyway, we hope.
You guys do a great job covering the cookbook beat thoroughly in Sauce, a regular column every month, your Tuesday blog, and a lot of feedback and give and take. So it's a great place to go if you're looking for cookbooks for yourself or a gift or whatever else. Lagaya, Amira, thank you both very much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Next week on Cityscape, Steve will be back to talk about an effort to erect a statue of Miles Davis in Alton. And join Don Marsh on Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he and his guests talk about the science of war injuries and about issues facing veterans when they return home from military service. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Camille Phillips and Jeremy Bailey. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Jim Eltoff.